The Bible reading for the sermon is that text read. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for all of the gifts you have given us and which we have received in gratitude. We pray now that your Holy Spirit will be with us to help us to understand the meaning of your word for our lives. We pray that you will bless us even more in giving of the gifts of compassion which you have given us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. There are 100 million homeless children in the world today. So when we consider what Jesus says here, that we should give a cup of cold water to the least of these, we ask ourselves, where are we going to find all of these oceans of helpfulness? And we find the answer in Jesus' remarks already in the 9th chapter of Matthew, where he starts building up. He says, he considers the multitudes and looks upon them and sees them as sheep without a shepherd. It says he has compassion upon them. And he says, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. And so we look now to this compassion of God, the infinite mercy of God, that love and that power to meet the needs, because with that large number of people in suffering and misery, and with that great of a task, we look to that rock of ages, the compassion of God revealed in Jesus. Like Hagar, look to the mercy of God as God heard the cries of her infant child who was thirsting and starving and opened up the rocks and brought forth water. We look to that miraculous, merciful God now. And in this text, as he moves through the whole 10th chapter of Matthew, and then comes to this climax, we look to that compassion of God. And it tells us, in our time, take and give the gifts of compassion. First, it's an interesting, for somebody in systematic theology, this is a very beautiful outline. In this conclusion, artistic, highly inspired conclusion to all of the instructions to reach out with the compassion of God, to help all of the needs of people through all time. The first describes the works of the persons of the Trinity. He says, he who receives you, the missionaries, the messengers with the gospel, it would be an honor for a city or a home to receive you and your message. But he had a reality factor that he described. When this gospel would come, there would be conflict. He said, I send you out as sheep among the wolves. Be prudent as serpents and docile as doves. And so they bring the message, the gospel. It's spoken then. It's written in the past and it's quoted. It's written now. And we are told, take this written word. We know that from starting missions, from our witnessing. I do it with the 14 to 38-year-olds here in inner city Fort Wayne. I try to build up a conversation with them, a dialogue, ascertain their needs, and then I'll tell them some part of the Bible. You have a Bible? Well, read from the book of Proverbs. It was interesting this past Sunday in inner city church in Indianapolis. Abandoned city school number 75, room number 212, where we're having our worship service. In a Bible class, there's a lady who brings up the fact, a retired pastor spoke here some time ago, and he said we should read the book of Proverbs, and I read it every week. So I say, take and read. Take and understand what does this all mean in the catechism, the summary of the teachings of the Bible, a philosophy of life that you can take all the way home that provides a positive approach to life helps us face our failures and needs in life, and has been so much help through the hundreds of years. Take and read and study and understand. And then he says, he who receives you receives me. The Holy Spirit inspires these. He says, the Holy Spirit will give you what to say, these messengers, and you are received. Maybe you're rejected. Shake the dirt from your feet. Woe to those cities who reject the messengers or reject Jesus. It'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah in the time of judgment than for those who reject. But those who receive, receive you, receive me. In the name of Jesus, the cause of God as revealed in Jesus. Repent. You have to be changed. Your way of life has to be changed. You have to turn to the Word of God, to a positive philosophy of life. He who receives Jesus, praise in the name of Jesus, that that miraculous power will help us to alleviate the suffering and misery of the masses, ever-increasing number in our lifetime. Receives me. And then, he who receives me receives him who sent me. As in the teaching of the prodigal son, Jesus tells us that when we're in a far country of sin, we do not have to destroy ourselves. Like on Memorial Day weekend here in town, there was a young woman who had planned to be married. She found out that weekend that that was called off. And she felt so depressed, she went to the bar, became intoxicated, ran out in the street, and threw herself into the front of the car and took her life. And we say to these people, trying to prepare them for the depressions and the failures that we have to face in the reality of life, turn to Jesus. He is the personal Word of God. We have the written Word of God in the messages in there, and we have it explained in our catechism. We have the personal Word of God in Jesus. He who receives me receives the Father, and we have this infinite wellspring of compassion in that merciful God. And the second thing is, he who receives the prophets are the ones who continually cry out. You have to look at your situation and see the massive evil. We need God's help. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This is not something that we look back to the past in some way, reflect upon it, and keep it at a distance. Like the tourists in Kafka's novel come to the cathedral and they look at it as a work of art and keep their distance from it until the pastor gets into the pulpit and says, sit down. How is it going with your trial with Jesus? And so, the prophet calls our attention to this. And Jesus teaches us as the prophet. I didn't come to destroy the commandments, but to fulfill them. And he interprets them with this high, idealistic challenge. And yet, says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the truth. This way of life has to be put over against the street gangs, the massive evil and destruction and violence of our time. Then he concludes his discourses and ethical teachings by saying, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. But we know at this point that we cannot be perfect in that manner. We cannot always achieve those high ideals. And we fail, and we have guilt, and we are depressed. At which point he says, he who receives the righteous one, that hymn we sang, was a glorious expression of our need for the Rock of Ages. He who receives the righteous one will receive the righteous one's reward. We turn to Jesus, and here we take again the gifts of compassion. He died for us. The scarred hands from the cross reach around us with that love of God in the sad times, in the times of sorrow, like on the shores by Ephesus, when St. Paul is saying farewell after this long period of service to that mission. And the elders are there, and the ship is waiting, which will take him eventually to Rome and to death. That is the journey. And they kneel down, and they put their arms around Paul, and they weep. That compassion of God is there in the arms around, the arms of the Christ on the cross, in the hands that are scarred. That love of God, in some way, is an expression, a revelation of compassion that'll take us through these threatening times. We'll receive the righteous one's reward. Take and eat. Receive these gifts of the gospel, because we need those motivational gifts to face the last verse of the text. Take and drink. Have this strength and this health of a holy relationship to God, a sincere faith. I believe this. There's a high suicide rate among the people of Northern Eastern Europe, from where many of us come. Too high a suicide rate all over. And we want these people who are the sheep of our flock to know this. Is it asking too much of you to accept these gifts of compassion? Believe these words of God. Live as if they were the truth, because they are. And finally, he says, give a cup of cold water. The one who gives a cup of cold water to the least of these, in the name of the disciple, will receive a disciple's reward. And here he challenges us to give of those gifts of compassion which we have received. As St. Paul summarizes a verse of Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we saw this in church Sunday. In the seminarians' wives had a couple of the, it's Black History Month, and a couple of the weekends in February have packed up a lot of warm clothes, which I hauled down to the Inner City Mission in Indianapolis. And so we had in worship service Sunday the description of Black history. The McCants family, which, say, in the last 100 or more years from South Carolina, where we had Emmanuel College, one of you taught there. And I spoke at their alumni banquet in White Plains, New York. From then, throughout the states of the South and up through the North, descendant after descendant helped start missions. And then, as he summarized this part of Black history, he pointed to the back row, and he says, we have one of the descendants of the McCants family here in this mission, Claudette Holmes. She served the punch and the rolls between worship and Bible study. And here we were, a policeman, and this is a description, a case study description of the increase of massive evil. A policeman, a white policeman, the blacks are praying for the white policeman's family. He's shot by one of the couple drunks that he has encountered along Highway I-65, right near our mission. And they feel the compassion for that, for those grieving relatives of the white policeman. And then we ask for, you have any prayers that you once said? Oh, yes, this is 11, 12-year-old boy on my right. We join hands in a large circle in that room 212. Pray for my friend. His mother was shot by her boyfriend and killed. And so these are specific instances. And we pray, and we receive the Lord's Supper. Take and eat. Take and drink. Bring into your life history and your experience this redeeming, changing, converting power of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus concludes, not only here you receive the reward of the disciple, which is explicitly stated in the 25th chapter, where he says, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen.